everyone for coming. Thank you to Brian and to Akiva. So I want to share a couple things from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman, when he used to have experiences, he would turn those experiences into Divrei Torah. So in the second section of Likutei Moharan, Rabbi Nachman says like this. Apparently he came home, and in the kitchen they had a problem that some treif had fallen into kosher. So some non-kosher had fallen into kosher. Now normally, if non-kosher food falls into kosher food, if the taste is still vibrant, in other words, we don't have a huge amount of kosher food to mask the non-kosher taste, the whole thing becomes not allowed. But if you'd have 60 times more kosher than the non-kosher, so then the taste of the non-kosher is just swallowed up. It's called batel. It loses its identity. Batel b'shishim loses its identity in 60. And then the whole thing becomes kosher. So Rabbi Nachman says, when you come home and you find that there's a mixture of non-kosher with kosher, and there's not enough kosher to nullify the non-kosher. So that's a sign from heaven that you were supposed to put together two different things to create a yichud, to unite two things, and it didn't go. They didn't unite in the right way. So since they didn't unite in the right way, you're left with something still being prohibited. Because if things would unite in the right way, if two things that look like they're separate would really become one, then there would be nothing prohibited. That's why at a wedding, under the chuppah, there's a blessing that's recited, where the rabbi who is organizing the wedding says to, over the cup of wine, blessed are you, God, asher asar lanu et ha'arusot, who has prohibited to us those who are only in the first stage of marriage. Marriage in Judaism has two parts. First, there is kiddushin, sanctification or betrothal, erusin, where the groom gives to the bride a ring, says, Hariat mekudeshet li, you are sanctified to me through this ring. And then, it used to be in the times of the Talmud, a year later, the groom would bring the bride to a chuppah or bring her into his home, and then he would have nisuin. They would have a meal with seven blessings, a sheva brachot. That would be the nisuin. So under the chuppah, the blessing is to thank God who prohibited to us those who are betrothed. For us are lanu esarusos, and then vihitzer lanu esanusuos. And then we say, thank you, God, for permitting those who are more married, who are at the stage of marriage of nisuin. In other words, the isur, the arusa, is prohibited, and then it becomes mutar, hitir lanu, it becomes permitted. Why? Because in the first stage of arusa, they're not fully united. It's just a connection, so she's still prohibited. But when there's a full unity, when there's nisuin, then they become permitted to each other. When there is a full union, a full yichud, then everything becomes permitted. So that's why we find the verse says, the Gemara says in Masechet Sotah, the verse says in Psalms, Elokim Moshev Yechidim Baisa. God takes individuals and makes out of the individuals a home. Motzi Asirim Bekosharos. He takes out those who are in jail in all sorts of celebration. But our sages hit it, that's a reference to weddings, that God takes individuals and he makes them into a home. And motzi asirim bekosharos, he permits that which was prohibited. In other words, first there is erusin, they're still prohibited to each other. And then it becomes permitted, it becomes kasher. It's like when you have some treif that falls into a pot, you can't eat it yet, but if there's so much good, there's 60 times more good than the amount of treif, then you could eat it. So that's motzi asirim b'kosharos, it's kashrus. Every wedding of Moshe Yechidim Baisa, the union of husband and wife, is really kashrus. It's really making something which is treif kosher by nullifying that which is prohibited. So once that which is prohibited is nullified, and it's all now permitted, so then you know that there's been a real good unification, and that's, then you know that there's been a good nullification of that which is evil. So that's what Rabbi Nachman says. So apparently he came home, there was a mixture, he found out there wasn't the right proportions. He said, oh, it's not just that there's some trefir. It means that in my service of God, I'm not succeeding in really becoming one and uniting with God. And uniting with God is apparently connected to nullifying myself. I'm not nullifying myself enough. And if I would nullify myself enough, it would really only be God here, then the treif would also be permitted. And so therefore, this was a sign that I have to work harder. Like in every wedding, we thank God, Asher Asar Lanu Asarusos, that it's prohibited to us, the first stage when they're just linked to each other. Vihitir Lanu, but then he permits us, Hanesuos Lanu, those who are fully married, Al Yedei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. So to explain what Rabbi Nachman is trying to say, my teacher, Rav Matel Zilber, suggests, that it's in light of the end of Masechet Taanis. The end of Masechet Taanis talks about the greatness of the 15th of Av. And the Gemara says the 15th of Av was the happiest day on the Jewish calendar in the days of the Temple. What would happen on the 15th of Av? All the young ladies who were not yet married would borrow white dresses from each other so that nobody would be embarrassed. So everybody's going around borrowing, so even those who can't afford are borrowing, but that's fine, everybody's borrowing. And they would go out to the vineyards, according to the tradition, it's the vineyards of Shiloh. And there in the vineyards, they used to have these large, large circles where the young ladies would be dancing in these big circles, v'cholos bakramim. They used to have big, large circles dancing in the vineyards. And all the eligible bachelors would come to try to find a wife. So there were different circles. The Gemara says there was one circle of the women who were very beautiful. They were dancing and they were saying, Bahur sana nechura e, young man, lift up your eyes and see. Then there was another circle of women who weren't so beautiful. So they would say, you know, Ein Isha Ela L'Mishpacha, you know, wife is to create a family, it doesn't matter what the looks are, you know, but we have good families, so you will have good kids. And then there was another circle of women who didn't have such good families, they didn't have such good looks. So they used to say, the Pasuk says, Sheker Achein Vehevel HaYofi, you know, false is beauty and empty is vanity. Isha Yirat Hashem Itasalal, the woman who fears God is the one who should be praised. We fear God, we're very pious, we're religious, you should find a wife from amongst our group. And all the eligible bachelors would find wives, and this was the happiest day of the year. There were hundreds and thousands of shiduchim that would happen. And that's what the Gemara says. The 15th day of Av was a very, very celebratory day. It was a day of a lot of marriages. Bnei Yisaskar, Hirshalim Melech of Dinov, he says, the month is called Av. Av is the letters Aleph Beis. So the 15th of Aleph Beis is really a hint to the 15th letter in the Aleph Beis. The 15th letter in the Aleph Beis is the letter Samach. Now the letter Samach is itself a circle. So this was a time of tremendous marriages because this was the time of the circle of the letter Samach. But now, according to Rabbi Nachman, we understand why it's the letter Samach. Because Rabbi Nachman says that a marriage is really bittul. It's the nullification, making something that, some treif that falls into a mixture kosher. At what point does treif that fall into a mixture become kosher? How much more kosher do you have to have in the treif? You have to have 60 times more kosher. What's the gematria of the letter Samach? 60. So the symbol of marriage were these circles, which is the symbol of the letter Samach, the 15th letter, because Samach equals 60. Because what was creating the marriage was the Bitzel B'Shishim, was nullifying the treif by 60. Now the Gemara says, why was the 15th of Av a happy day? So the Gemara says, maybe that was the day that the tribes were allowed to marry within each other, that originally, when we were in the desert, so any woman who inherited her father, she was not allowed to marry out of her tribe. Because if she would marry out of her tribe, the land that she had inherited from her father, from one tribe, would end up belonging to another tribe. But after the first generation, then already that law went away, and the women were allowed to marry from tribe to tribe. So what was the day when that law went away? The 15th of Av. And another idea is that the Gemara says the 15th of Av was a happy day, because that was the day when the tribe of Benjamin, who had a lot of women that were not, a lot of men who couldn't marry, no one wanted to marry them, they were able to once again marry within the nation. In other words, there was a prohibition, and the prohibition became permitted on the 15th of Av. And Rabbi Nachman is telling us that the nature of marriage, the union of two, is where the prohibitions become permitted, and we're left only with that which is permitted.
Rabbi,
yeah,
what
please.
Was the prohibition with Binyamin?
That because the people of Binyamin had done a terrible crime against a woman called Pilegesh Begibah, so there was a civil war, and the other tribes killed out the majority of the people of Benjamin. And then they said, we don't want any of our girls to marry in Binyamin, from those few men that were left. So that also was removed on the 15th of Av. So what's this idea that the 15th of Av, or the number 60, the letter Samach, represents nullifying a prohibition, and nullifying a prohibition, that's the key to enabling a marriage. What does this have to do with marriage? What does this have to do with union? So Rabbi Zilber suggests the following, that every marriage has all sorts of problems with it. Every shidduch has chesronos. There are all sorts of problems with the shidduch. Because that's the way of life in this world. Life in this world is that it's not all good. There's always problems. There are always deficiencies. So the only way to have a shidduch is to somehow overlook the problems. If a person's still focused on all the problems, he'll never go ahead with any match. He's never no one's going to be good enough. No one's going to be perfect. So he won't go ahead with any marriage. The only way for a marriage to happen is to have bitul b'shishim. To say, well, you know, there's so much good, the good overcomes that which is bad. I'm ignoring the bad. The whole thing becomes kosher. But if a person thinks that going into a marriage, it's all going to be perfect, he's going to find someone who's fully perfect, there's no such thing. Nobody's fully perfect. So it would never happen. So there are some people that have a hard time, you know, ever being satisfied and going ahead with the marriage because they don't know the secret that you have to, that life's about bittul berov. Life's about, you have to overlook at the majority and let the majority overwhelm the minority. It's good. Good. There's a lot of good here, and that's what matters. The good is what matters. The bad, that's batel. That's nullified in the good. Yeah, question.
Can I say that next time I'm in an argument with my wife?
I don't know. It depends on how heated the argument is. Batel b'shishim. So this is the power, right, where the symbol of marriage is this circle, the machol, the circle, which is the symbol of the letter Samach, going around and around and around.
Well, what makes the difference is the tam. Tam, it's a taste.
Uh-huh.
Taste is different from person to person.
Right.
So if you think that it's good, then you could actually bring up the percentage.
Very true. Very true. The way you, what you focus on, can have a tremendous.
How you perceive the problem.
That's right. Can have a tremendous impact. That's right. That's very true. So the verse says, "Elokim Moshiv Yechidim Baisa." God takes individuals. In other words, each person, he wants to be. He's an individual, she's an individual, they can't see themselves together. You know, I've got all these issues. And God makes them together, baisa, makes them into a home out of the two of them, unites them. Motzi asirim bekosharos. He takes that which is asir, what's prohibited, and he makes it all kosher. He makes it all kosher through the bitul b'shishin. and therefore they can all become united as one. So to understand this in a deeper sense, what does this mean, that there has to be bittul b'shishim in order for a marriage to happen? So Rabbi Silver suggests that there are really two ways of looking at things. One way to look at things is to make decisions with calculations, with analysis, the pros, the cons. People who live that way with, you know, lists, this is why it's good, because there are more pros than there are cons, they are people who probably would never end up getting married. Because, you know, they'll find all these deficiencies, all these problems, oh, you can't go ahead. The way to go ahead is to get rid of all the lists and to say, I have emuna. There are other people, they live with emuna. They just have faith. They jump in with a lot of faith. And the truth is, all the great things in this world get done by faith. They don't get done by logic. They get done by passion. The Jewish people come to our Sinai. Hashem says, do you want the Torah? Nasa v'nishma, we're going to do it. We're not going to analyze what's there. Maybe yes, maybe no. We're doing. We're all in. Nasa v'nishma. That's how we get the Torah. The Gemara says that Rabbah was once sitting and learning, and he was sitting on his fingers because he was concentrating so much, and blood came out of his fingers. So there was this heretic who said to him, you know, you're a rash nation. I'm a paziza, a rash nation, that you put your mouth in front of your ears. You say, we're going to do, even before you even know what you're getting yourself into. We're going to do it, then we're going to hear. First you should hear, analyze, deliberate, then decide whether you're going to do. And Rabbah says back, no, ananda skinim b'shle Musa, we who follow with wholeheartedness, and Rashi says we have love of God, we know it's going to work out. The really great things, to get the Torah, it comes from a decision of passion. There's a famous Medrash. The Medrash says that when God wanted to create Adam Arishon, so the angels started to protest. They said, wow, can you create man? Keep all your glory in heaven. How should a human being be able to have the glory of God? So there was a whole fight. The angel of truth said man shouldn't be created because he's filled with lies. The angel of kindness said man should be created. There's a whole fight this way, that way. Yes to create man, not to create man. God said it's too late. I already made man. Nasa Adam, I already made man. Man's already been made. Once he's been made, now you can discuss whether it was good or bad, but it's already been done. In other words, the decision to make man really great things, it doesn't happen through analysis, maybe yes, maybe no. It's a nasa v'nishma moment. It's with tremendous faith. And so that's the idea also about a marriage. The way to have a marriage and to go ahead with the marriage is to have faith. Faith. And faith is connected to the idea of just jumping in without any calculations, just saying there's so much good, the bad is gone. It doesn't exist. It's batel b'rov. There's only good, there's no bad. And that's the way in which we can go through life. In life, there's always good and there's bad. How do we focus on the good? How do we get to batel b'rov? We say we're going to make decisions with faith, with impulse, with a great passion for God. And not to worry about anything else. We're jumping in with God, and when we have tremendous faith, we know that that's going to accomplish amazing things. There's a difference between emuna and seichel. Logic is analysis, yes, no. Faith is an attraction. We're attracted to the Almighty. We're pulled to Him. We're following Him. We know He's here. We know He's involved in everything. There's nothing but Him. And when we're fully attached to Him and running after Him, then great things can happen. If we're making too many calculations, too much logic, it doesn't happen. So maybe the machol bakramin, the great circle that they dance with in the vineyards, is connected to the next Gemara in Masechet Tanis. The Gemara says, Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asos machol la'tzadikim. In the future, God is going to make a big dancing circle for all the tzadikim, and Hashem is going to sit in the middle. And when he sits in the middle, they're going to all point at Hashem and they're going to say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God. Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo, this is God that we were hopeful for. Nagilav in Ismachab Yeshua So, let's rejoice in His salvation. So they're going to make a big circle for all the tzaddikim. So here's an amazing thought from a great Hasidic master, the Rebbe of Mendel of Rimanov. He said, what place in the world could hold all the tzaddikim? It's got to be a really big place. He said, only Gehenim. Only Gehenim could be a place big enough to hold all the tzaddikim. As the pasuk says, Harchivi Sha'ol, that the Gehenim is very, very broad. So he said, God's going to take all the tzaddikim, they're all going to be in Gehenim. It's going to be this huge circle of all the tzaddikim in Gehenim, and God's going to be sitting in the middle, and they're going to be pointing at God, and they're going to be saying, Zeh Hashem kivinu lo nagila v'nismacha b'yishuasa. So such a strange idea. All the tzaddikim are going to be dancing in Gehenim, and they're going to be pointing at God in Gehenim, and that's how they're going to have the great reward of the future world. So Rabbi Silver suggests the following. You know, there's some people that are in Gan Eden, and there are other people in Gehenim. And the difference is like this. A person who lives with Emunah, he's in Gan Eden. The pasuk says, "V'tzadik be'emunaso yichyeh." A tzadik through his faith is alive. Because if a person merits to have a real, real faith, that God is with me in every moment, and He's taking care of me wherever I am, or whatever is happening, God is there, and it's all from God, and we're all connected to God. So there's a tremendous joy, there's a tremendous life. Tzadik b'emunaso yichyeh. He feels life, and he feels Gan Eden. He feels that he's in Gan Eden. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Kolo one amen poskan lo shari Gan Eden. Anyone who says Amen, he responds to a blessing with Amen, the gates of Gan Eden open for him. Because if he says Amen, he has faith, he has passion for God, God's here, he's in charge, he's running everything, then he's in Gan Eden, his life is Gan Eden, because he's with God and he's in Gan Eden. There's tremendous life. So what's the opposite of Gan Eden? Gehenim. So what takes a person into Gehenim? The lack of faith. When a person doesn't have faith, a person can feel a great darkness. And even worse, a person can give up and not have any hope. And when a person doesn't have hope, then he is feeling that he's in Gehenna. A person's in Gehenna when he feels that he has no hope. It's all dark. It's a Gehenna for him. What's the way to get out of Gan Eden? Get out of Gehenna? The way to get out of Gehenna is to go to Gan Eden, to have Emunah, to have faith. And with Emunah, a person can have hope in whatever situation, because God is infinite. God can do all sorts of things. You know, there's a great Breslov rabbi. His name is Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter. So he has all sorts of wonderful, warm stories about tzaddikim, and faith in tzaddikim, and having encouragement. So he says over a story in one of his books called Kadas Nefesh Meshivas, that the Baal Shem Tov taught that any person who lives with tremendous faith, and the way to express that faith is to pray for everything, that any little thing that comes up, to pray for it, and to pray for it in not in Hebrew, in whatever language a person speaks, in Yiddish, in Russian, in English, whatever we're doing, to pray for it, that it should be amazing, that if we have to do a business deal, to ask God that the business deal should work, the children should be healthy, everything, to pray to God for every little thing that's going on. Like there's the famous story about the Chassidish Rebbe who davens that Hashem should send a good housekeeper for the house. So they say to Pinchas of Karetz, they say, but that's what Hashem, you're bothering Hashem with? He said, well, who else should I talk to about a good housekeeper? Hashem's in charge of the good housekeeper too, so I need a good housekeeper. If I don't have a good housekeeper, my wife's going to be upset. Won't be shalom bayis. Hashem's in charge of that. I have to ask Hashem for the good housekeeper. So the Baal Shem Tov says, if you feel Hashem in everything, and if we always connect to Hashem and pray to Hashem, then we can merit that Hashem will show us that He's involved in everything. They're crazy, crazy stories that they say about the Baal Shem Tov. They say that he once had an orphan who grew up in his house. And so he wanted to marry her off, so he made a shidduch with the son of Rav Zev Kitzis, who was a student of his. So Rav Zev Kitzis says, okay, the couple are going to learn Torah for a little bit. So who's going to support the couple? I don't have any money. So the Baal Shem just said, don't worry, I'll give 200 gold coins. I'll give 200 gold coins. So fine. Anyway, the day of the wedding comes and the money wasn't delivered. The Baal Shem Tov didn't have a penny. So Reb Zev Kitzis, he goes over to the Baal Shem Tov. He says, listen, you promised 200 gold coins. You know, what's going to be? I mean, Kamachin Torah. So the Baal Shem Tov said, don't worry, let's go ahead for the wedding. So Reb Zev Kitzis says, I'm not going to send my son until I get that money for my son, until he's going to be able to be provided for. So as they're talking, Reb Leib Kremener walked in. And he says to the Baal Shem Tov, by the way, I was sent here by the local Paritz, the guy who owns the land, that you promised him 1,000 gold coins to get somebody out of jail. And that guy was released out of jail, but he didn't get the 1,000 gold coins. So he's coming to arrest the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov heard, and he said, okay, get my horse. And he tells Reb Leib, okay, go to the Paritz and work out the loan. So Reb Leib had emunah. The Baal Shem Tov says to work out the loan, the loan's going to work out. So he didn't have any money. He jumps on the horse and he rides to the house of the Paritz. We're going to work out the loan. So while he was going, he was thinking, what am I going to do? I don't have any money. The Baal Shem Tov owes 1,000 coins. I don't have anything. So he says, you know what, maybe the merit of the Baal Shem Tov, the Paritz is going to say he's going to take the horse as 1,000 gold coins. So I'll offer him the horse as 1,000 gold coins. Anyway, he gets to the house of the Paritz, and he walks in, and the Paritz is so happy to see him. Oh, great, you're going to pay off the loan. He gives him a big smile. So Reb Leib really didn't have a penny. So he figures, you know what, I'll try to schlep it out. I'll try to just talk. You know, maybe over time some miracle's going to happen and I'm going to keep talking. So he said, you know, you're such a very special person and honorable and honest. I know that the Paritz never takes a penny that's not his. He wouldn't want to take a penny that's not his. So maybe the Paritz should check his records to make sure that the Baal Shem Tov really owes the 1,000 gold coins. So he was so flattered, this Paritz. Oh, you told me such nice things. He opened up his record book, and Reb Leib is sitting and watching, and the Paritz is looking at the record book, and suddenly he turns around, and he throws the IOU into the fire. And then the Paritz turns, and he smiles. He says, you know, you saved me, because I was looking through my record books, I found out that yes, in fact, the Baal Shem Tov had given me money another time. I was wrong with my calculations. I owe him 200 gold coins. So he gave Reb Leib the 200 gold coins. Reb Leib ran back. He came to the Baal Shem Tov. And when he gets to the Baal Shem Tov, he says, here, 200 gold coins. So the Baal Shem Tov said, I don't need a time for the stories now. We have to go for the wedding. He gave the 200 gold coins to Reb Zev Kitzis, and they went right away to the wedding to fulfill that which had been promised. So this is the stories that they say of the tzaddikim. The idea of the story is that the Baal Shem Tov, he had tremendous, tremendous emunah, tremendous faith, and he prayed all the time. When a person prays all the time, and he has a lot of emunah, a lot of faith, he can be in Gehenna, but he's in Gan Eden. The tzaddikim, they're dancing in Gehenna because Gehenna has a lot of space, and they're all going into Gan Eden because they have emunah. They're pointing at Hashem. They say, "Hine Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. This is the God we've been hoping for. Nagila v'nismacha b'Yeshuaso, we'll celebrate in His salvation." And so that's the big dance. The verse says in Shir HaShirim, that Tashuri Me Rosh Amanah, you will sing from the Mount Amanah. So Rashi explains that there is a mountain called Amanah, and from there they will sing. But the Hasidim say Amanah is from the word Emunah. That at the place of great, great Emunah, that's what creates song. With Emunah, with jumping to God, with having faith in God, saying God is here. It doesn't make any sense, it doesn't have to make sense. But God is here, and therefore if God is here, it's good, and that's what's happening. It's good, and the ra, the bad, is batal. The ra is nullified. So to talk about what, you know, the theme of tonight's lesson, life is complicated. There's good and there's bad. Rabbi Nachman tells us that we have to focus on the good and nullify the bad. And how do we focus on the good and nullify the bad? By choosing to be people of emunah instead of people of logic. To say, I don't want to be a person of logic and calculations. I say amen, I have emunah, I daven, I want to talk to Hashem about every situation, talk to Him in my language, and talk to Him like a friend. And in that way, a person merits to have the amazing ability to transform all that which isn't kosher into being kosher. The next passage of Rabbi Nachman here in Likutei Moharan Tinyana is actually on this week's Parsha. Rabbi Nachman says that sometimes a person cries. And when we cry, wholehearted cries, those tears become ink. And out of that ink, special words of Torah are written. For example, the end of the Torah, the last 8 psukim, talks about Moshe's death. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, how can Moshe say that he died? Moshe's true. So the Gemara says he said it bedema, he said it in tears. The end of the Torah was written with tears, and then Yoshua wrote it over with ink. So Rabbi Nachman says that when a person cries because he needs things from Hashem, out of those tears, a whole book is written, a book of Divrei Torah. And that book of Divrei Torah that comes out of a person's tears, that can save a person from any problem from non-Jews. Why? Because all the problems that we have from non-Jews come from this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, originally Yitzchak was going to give the blessings to Esav. Rivka heard and she tells Yaakov, no, you go impersonate Esav, you get the blessings. So Yaakov went, he impersonated Esav, he got the blessings from Yitzchak. And then Esav comes back, and Esav walks in right as Yaakov walked out, and Esav says to his father, okay, I have the food that I was supposed to prepare, give me a blessing. And Yitzchak says, I'm sorry, your brother came with deception, your brother took the blessing. So Esav cried. And out of those tears, the Midrash says, because of those tears, that's what gave Esav the power to cause problems to Jews. So all the problems that Jews have from Esav come from those tears. But when we cry tears in our prayers, then out of those tears, holy books are written. And those holy books are the fixing of his tears. And when they fix Esav's tears, that can protect us from any type of danger from the nations of the world. That's why Rabbi Nachman says the word for tears, Bechia, stands for the first letters of B'nai Yisrael Kechol Hayam. The Jewish people are like the sand by the ocean. The sand protects the world from the waves of the ocean. That through Bechia, through the tears that Jews shed, and out of those tears, holy books get written. Out of those books, we are the shelter to protect us from all the waves that are coming from Esav. And that's also connected to this idea that there's all sorts of difficulties in the world. But when we pray to God with emotion, with tears, with openness, with sincerity, with emunah, with faith, we might merit that God will show us that He's with us, and we can jump in to be with Him, and that can turn even a Gehenim lack of hope into Gan Eden, into hope and joy and dancing, and bittul, and nullifying all the evils in the world.
Amen.
Thank you.